Amen. Thank you, Rodney and Jenny and Jonathan and Brooke, for leading us in that way. Well, I told you that tonight was going to be focused on the family. Focus on the, that would make a good title for a radio program or something, wouldn't it? Or ministry or something like that. But we're going to do that tonight in several specific ways. Some of you didn't even come realizing this, but I'm going to give you an opportunity for something very special tonight. First of all the husbands and wives. And by the way, Caleb, do you mind staying over here and playing a little bit for me? I'm going to use you a couple times here before I actually get into the message. And I'm going to use you in just a minute. But ahead of that, if you are here as a husband and a wife together, now, I'm, of course, assuming that you're sitting together. If not, Rodney is available for counseling this weekend. But I'm going to ask all the husbands and wives to stand together right now, if you would. All the husbands and wives who are here together, stand. And you say, I don't want to stand till I know what I'm committing myself to. We're going to give you an opportunity tonight to do something that you've wanted to do ever since you said I do, but maybe have never taken the time to do it. Now, I had to be careful about saying that. I saw a guy ball up his fist one time when I said, no, that's not the purpose. We're going to give you an opportunity tonight as we center in on the family to repeat to your mate a portion of your wedding vows. Now, we believe, I heard a little feminine ooh there. Now, you teenagers, just be quiet. You weren't around the first time, and we don't want to hear anything out of you this time, okay? But just forget there's anybody here but you and your mate. Turn and face each other, husband and wife, and take her hands in yours, and forget there's anybody else here, just husbands. Looking into your eye, the eyes of your wife, repeat after me, I take thee to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. Now, ladies, looking into your husband's eyes with deep devotion, I take thee to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, cherish, and obey, till death do us part. Gentlemen, you may kiss your bride. Amen. Thank you. You can go ahead and I believe that deserves a round of applause, don't you? You cannot leave for your second honeymoon until after the service, though, okay? Don't head out on us, but feel free to keep your arm around her or reach over there every once in a while and give that hand a gentle squeeze. You know, we have been so blessed by our family and our children. I so wish my wife was here and you could meet her. I used to think that God gave us children so we could raise them for Him. I'm now convinced that God gives us children so they can raise us for Him. I would have to say that our children have been the greatest instrument of God for working and molding and shaping our lives to be what He wants them to be. Peter Lord, pastor in Titusville, Florida for many years, called children holy sandpaper. That thing that God uses for knocking off the rough, you say, no, mine were more like a jackhammer. Well, you know, if that's true, it just means the edges were a lot rougher than we realized. And I want to share with you tonight, ahead of the message, there's a couple things we're going to do. And the message is not overly long. That's relative speaking. I understand that. But number of years ago, and you'll recognize that because these children is actually, I suppose, 12 years ago. Our twins, then 13 years old, and Melody was a couple years younger than that, came to us. We were in a crusade in Lexington, North Carolina, all excited. And they said to us, Mom and Dad, don't make any plans this Saturday. We have a surprise for you. Don't make any plans. You got to be home and you got to stay in the trailer till we tell you to come out. And the other family that was traveling with us, and they had a number of children as well, and they had told them. And what had happened, we had a prayer, a couple traveling with us that were prayer warriors, and they had come up with a special plan. And our children on that Saturday presented for us an honor your parents breakfast banquet, where they went in, cooked everything. I mean, sausage, bacon, gravy, pancakes, eggs, the whole works. And they had set a special table in the fellowship hall. They had permission from the church to do this, and that older couple were helping them with the cooking and stuff. They weren't turning 13-year-old loose in there to do it. And they had this whole thing set up, and we wondered what's going on. And so finally, when it was all ready, they came out, knocked eagerly on the doors, and told us, okay, you can come in now. And we walked in, and there was a table that they had set up and decorated with a white cloth, and they had a schedule of the menu of everything that they had for us and a planned event. And they came out bringing the food, and they had these towels wrapped over their arm, you know, as they would come out to service and give each of the things that they prepared. And then they'd seen our team do skits so many times that they had their own program for us to do several of the skits. And this was about the time that Charity had started using the gift that God gave her for writing some songs. And this was they sang two songs to us. This was the second song she ever wrote as a 13-year-old. By the way, Charity has never had a piano lesson in her life. But God has given her a specific gift. She's probably written over 200 songs now. And anyway, they said, we've got a special thing for you. And then we sat down there and they sang a song for us. And then after all this was finished and they'd done the skits and all this stuff, they came over and they washed our feet to honor their parents. And the couple that was in charge of this did some video, and then they brought it and put it back together for us. And so I thought I put it together with the song that they sang at that time that they had written to honor their parents. We will see if it works here. I should know better than to watch that when I'm not with some members, at least, of my family. You weren't able to see Charity. She was playing the piano while they were singing that song. This was at that point, they're 13. You know how girls outspurt the guys? Christopher looked like he was maybe about 10. And when they realized, a lot of churches, when they realized he was a twin, they thought maybe he and Melody, the blonde, the younger one on the other end, were twins. And because then when they found out that he was twins with Charity at that point, I mean, Charity was at some point almost a foot taller than him and hit her spurt, you know. And I'd watch his little face as people would say that, you know. And I'd take him, I can't tell you the number of times I'd take him and I'd draw him aside. I'd say, honey, listen, that always happens. Girls hit their growth spurt first, and they shoot up, and then later on the guys, I said, you are eventually going to get as tall as her, and you're going to pass her. And his eyes would get, really? I said, oh, yeah, it's going to happen, you know. He said, okay. Then I'd walk away, though, and say, dear God, please honor what I just told that boy. And he did, and he hit his spurt and shot beyond her. They have such a special relationship. You know, you see something like this, and you you think about your children. You think about those special years and times that you've had and what have you, and they may be many years ago, but there is something that God does in our hearts about family. And you'll see that here in a few minutes, that I think we need to take a few minutes and tangibly do something for our family relationships today. I hope I've got enough of this. I may not, but I need a couple of guys. Hudson, come on here. This is blank paper, and here's what I want us to do. We're not going to just sit and hear a message tonight. I want you to take, listen carefully, you need enough blank, wait a minute, Rodney. You need enough blank paper to have a half sheet of paper for each member of your immediate family, whether they're here with you tonight or not, okay? So take extra paper, and I may not have brought enough. If I didn't, we'll have to get some more and tear some. Enough blank paper. So, and that would include your mate, if you are here with your mate, or even if your mate's not here and is at home, half sheet for them, and then one for each of your children. Now, if we don't, what's that? Yeah, we shouldn't have started up front, should we? So take that. And if we need some more, we certainly can go in the office back there and get some and so on. A half sheet for each member of your immediate family. And here's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. I'm going to give you a few minutes. You've had to write fast, but I'm going to ask you for your immediate family, right? And I'm going to ask you to write a love note to each member of your immediate family. And in that note, I want you to share at least two specific reasons why you love that member of your family. And then when you finish that love note, I want you to fold it over and put their name on the outside of it, stick it inside your Bible or something. We'll tell you what to do with it later on in the service. By the way, please, folks, do not underestimate the power of that little note. Listen, I have in my Bible right now, I carry them. I've got shoeboxes, literally shoeboxes at home of these notes. I carry in the back of my Bible, and I pull them out and read. There's a love note from Nancy. Love note from Nancy. Love note from Charity. From Melody. Christopher. I carry those notes in the back of my Bible, switch them out once in a while. When I dropped Charity off in California 2 weeks ago to start her new ministry out there, I took special time that morning, wrote a 3-page handwritten letter to her, and as I left, the last thing that she did was gave me another letter, and I'm keeping that one in my Proverbs where I go every morning and reading it every morning. Listen, don't underestimate the power of those words and the impact in the life of a child, son or daughter, okay? So we're going to give a few minutes. Caleb, you can play some background music for us there, if you will. And right quickly, one man had 13 children. I don't think he finished till midnight that night. I'm not going to give you that much time, but we'll give you a few minutes. And if you have to limit it, at least begin with the ones that are here in the service. They may be in here. They may be in the children's area out there. Begin with the immediate ones, your mate, sons and daughters, mom and dad, so on. Okay? Are we getting enough paper? How are we doing, Rodney? Okay. Who needs more paper? How many fingers? One more sheet? Right beside you, brother. Okay. Yeah. What you don't get done here, you can do at home. All right? But at least do the ones for the people who are here in the service with you. By the way, I should say, you know, every part of a service when you do a family night cannot apply to everybody. There'll be some parts that will apply more to you and other parts to different ones. Rejoice in those parts that apply to you. Now, you may not have any immediate family members here, Still write those notes to sons, daughters. They may be in another town. You may actually have to take this and put it in an envelope. Send it to them. Don't hesitate on that. You say they won't understand. Yes, they will.